Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This man has many strings to his bow. He was an athlete, he's a coach, and now he's an advocate for people with disabilities. It's Adam Shepherd. How are you doing today, Adam?
I am well, mate, and yourself?
Yes, very well indeed.
Excellent.
Very well indeed. Now, let's go back to the start. You started your sort of life, so to speak, as a wheelchair athlete. Can you tell us what you competed in and tell us a little bit about your athletics background?
Yeah, absolutely. So originally, way back, I was a swimmer.
Okay.
I started out as a swimmer and swam for a while and basically got sick of staring at a black line. So I'm sure probably not the first time you've heard that.
No.
And then I got introduced through another friend of mine to wheelchair racing. He had a racing wheelchair that he wasn't using anymore, so I jumped in it and oddly enough, it fitted me sort of decided that was my thing and got into it from there. Did the Gold Coast Half Marathon as one of my first races, half marathon, so 21 and a half Ks. And got into it from that point.
And what was it about athletics? Because if you didn't dig swimming, but what was it about athletics that you really enjoyed?
Open roads, getting to see different sites. It was cool because, I got to travel a fair bit.
I was going to say, it took you overseas and you did quite a few things overseas, did you?
Oh, yeah. I spent a lot of time in the US, which was awesome. Got a lot of friends over in the US that I still keep in touch with all the time. Went to New Zealand, Canada. Got to travel and obviously right around Australia too, which was really, really cool.
Very cool. And then after your athletics, you got into coaching. What was it that drew you to coaching?
I got into coaching basically after I stopped racing. I sort of sat around and did not a whole lot for a few years. I worked, obviously, and all that sort of stuff, but in the sporting arena, didn't do a whole lot. But the problem was I kept eating the same amount of stuff. So I wasn't actually burning off. And eventually, decided that I needed to get back into things. And so I started training at the gym again and all that sort of thing. And decided I wanted to become a qualified personal trainer. I'm one of these people that wants to understand why I'm doing things a certain way and all that. So became qualified personal trainer and there was a need in Queensland for somebody who knew something about wheelchair racing. Queensland's one of those states where there's not a whole lot of people around that know much about wheelchair racing. So, I thought, there's my in and got into it that way.
Now, I should have asked also with your athletics, career achievements, because people are probably going, you skipped over that very quickly. Goff, what are some of the career achievements you've had? I suppose if you're going to tell people you're a red hot coach, you need to have some good...
some props behind me.
Yeah.
Well, I coach an amazing athlete, young Natasha Price at the moment. She's awesome and going big, big places. As an athlete, represented Australia internationally over in the US in quite a few of the junior wheelchair national games. I also captained the Australian side, I think it was in the late 90s in San Jose, which was absolutely amazing. And I actually beat Kurt Fernley once.
Okay.
Which is my claim to fame, but
What distance?
10K.
Okay.
10K. And I beat him by, I think it was 3/100th of a second. So it was a sprint to the finish line.
You should have said the length of the Flemington Straight.
Yeah, that's why I should have said, I actually beat him by 10K. But no. we all know that wouldn't stick. So, there's been lots. But I was also selected as a torchbearer for the 2000 Olympic Games. So that was not so much... That was because of sport, I guess, I was selected to do that, which was amazing.
It was a pretty cool experience.
Oh, it was amazing. I actually got to run the torch in my own stomping ground, so my own training ground where I trained as an athlete. So all the people had seen me out training were there to cheer me on when I was doing the torch run at Paradise Point. So it was really, really cool experience.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. Now, with the coaching, what are you because I would assume there's quite a difference to coaching an able-bodied athlete than a wheelchair athlete because obviously they do it differently.
Yes.
So what are some of the things that you're sort of drilling into your pupils, so to speak?
Technique is with wheelchair racing, like running or, if you're a hurdler, it's very similar. There's a specific technique you need to use, hand position, elbows, all that sort of stuff. So technique is number one as far as I'm concerned. And that it does vary depending on whether you're doing a short race, 100-meter sprint, or you're doing a 42K race marathon. So that's probably one of the main things. And obviously training the distance as well is a big thing that I focus on. So, you know, for my guys that do marathons, we're not necessarily out there every day pushing 42Ks, but, you know, we might do 25 to 30. The theory is, you know, if you can go that far, you can make 42Ks as well. So hopefully.
Well, yes.
that's the plan.
Otherwise, you're going to have a very lot of angry, angry people saying, stopping at 35Ks going, why is this happening?
Exactly right. What have you done to me?
Do you hit the wall? Like during a marathon, do you hit the wall like an able-bodied athlete would do where your arms are just hanging off?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, why you train. And that's why you train the distances, because it's all about pushing that lactic threshold later and later into the race. So
as a coach, what do you tell, because obviously you need to mentally prepare, and what are you telling them?
It's all about pushing through the pain. And you know, me basically on my hand cycle, I've got a hand cycle, then when my athletes are out on the road training, I chase them around in my hand cycle, which is a whole lot easier than a racing chair, let me tell you. And I chase them down that, and you know, I'm sort of beside them, you know, barking orders or yelling at them, or telling them to go faster.
Yeah. Well, if they could, they would.
Yeah, basically. And they're telling me to, you know, get stuffed.
Go forth and multiply. Yeah,
pretty much.
So you also run a company called Invincible is how it's spelled. Invincible.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that company?
So Invincible is basically there to empower people with disabilities to get out, live life, enjoy life. We do advocacy, we do motivational speaking, we work with businesses around all manner of accessibility, inclusion, diversity issues. We do workshops and that sort of thing. It's all about getting the community to see people with disabilities as amazing people and members of the community, and also, in the other way, get people with disabilities out into the community and living their best life.
So what are some really basic things that businesses can do to be more inclusive and more accessible? Because there is a lot of really just simple and straightforward things that they
really
can do.
There really is. Goff, I couldn't tell you the amount of times that I've gone into a business somewhere and they've had there's a sign for a disabled toilet, an example, and was like, can I use a disabled toilet? Oh, we don't have one. It's like, well, what's that over there? You know, pointing to a sign, and they were like, oh, that's our storage room. And, you know, they're using their disabled toilet as storage, so you can't get in there anyway. Things like that. Not crowding the place up with, you know, heaps and heaps of furniture or chairs, or, you know, if it's a cafe, make sure you've got plenty of space for people who use wheelchairs or wheelie walkers or, you know, other mobility devices to be able to get around and enjoy the space that you're providing.
No, because like I say, we had Kim Pillick, who's O&M instructor, episode 4 of the podcast, so people go way, way, way back. she's an O&M instructor, which is an orientation and mobility instructor for the blind and vision impaired.
Oh, wow, cool.
And she said that the number one thing that annoyed, because I said the same sort of question, but I used council because she's out in the community. And she said, I wish I had a set of gardening shears, because the amount of overhanging, like how simple is it just to make sure that there are no overhanging branches over footpaths so blind people can't see them. Mm-hmm. So just make sure that footpaths are kept clear.
It's not rocket science. Some of this stuff is not rocket science. It's really not. But, you know, to a person who doesn't have to live with it every day and find ways around that stuff, granted, you know, you don't notice it and you don't understand it, you don't see it. But that's why we exist, to, you know, to make people aware of those things.
And what about the general public? So we've got business, but there's also the general public. What are some really simple and easy things that folks at home can do to be more inclusive and more accessible in their own little worlds and life?
In their own, just, you know, one of the biggest things I say to people, everyone's really worried about offending people with disabilities when they ask if you need help. I always say to people, there is 0.0001% of people who are going to possibly turn around and bite your head off. The rest of us are going to be really, really appreciative. And, you know, we'll say, thank you so much, I've got it. Or, you know what? Yeah, that'd be great. If you could help me with this, that, and the other thing, that'd be brilliant. So yeah, don't be afraid to ask people if they need help. You know, they're really going to say, yeah, that's great, can you help me do this? Or say, thank you, but I'm good. But, you know, everyone's really worried about people getting offended and getting their heads bitten off. And it shouldn't happen, but, you know, But yeah, majority of the time, it won't. Yeah.
So it's funny you should raise that. So we had also Dr. Ben Whitburn on the podcast, who's done a PhD in disability education. He's blind like I am. And he said a very similar thing. So when talking about the education system, and I asked him a similar type question, he said, communication is key. He said, the number one thing that educators need to do when they have a student with a disability is ask them, what are your needs?
Absolutely.
Because the person can easily tell them. Don't guess, don't assume. Just ask them, what are your needs? And they'll say, well, even if they're a kid, they can still verbalize an answer. They can say, well, I can't see the whiteboard from where I'm sitting. I need a certain device or I need some... Like, so how important is communication?
Oh, it's key. It is absolute number one. The amount of times, I'm married of my beautiful wife, and, the amount of times that I'll go out somewhere, or her and I will be out somewhere, and, they'll... turn to her and ask her something about me, or can he do this? And I'm like, hello, right here, things like that, So talk to the person, we will tell you what we need, what we don't need, and it's always appreciated. It's always appreciated.
No, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely, 110%. Now, I'm also of the opinion, of obviously being blind myself, I think that people with a disability do a fantastic job. They want to be contributing members of society. They want to succeed in life, just like everybody else wants to succeed in life. And I think it's the general public and everybody else that needs to get on board and assist in some way, shape or form, because we can only do so much. We do need a little bit of assistance here and there. Can you maybe, do you agree, disagree? Can you talk a little bit
about that? No, I absolutely agree. And once again, to me, it's about communication. If you don't know somebody with a disability of any sort, find someone to talk to. If you pass somebody in the street, if they look like, they're up for a conversation, have a conversation with that person. One of my favorite things in the world to do is, because I'll be at a shopping center and, I ride around four wheels all day long. So, I'll be in a shopping center and somebody will, like a little kid will come past and wave at me or look at me and point or whatever. So I go up and have a conversation, because that might be the only opportunity in that child's life or that person's life, depending on who it is, that they've ever seen a person with a disability or somebody in a wheelchair. It once again, it's all about communication.
And what about education? Do you think, I honestly believe that in the school curriculum, there should be a part where, kids are learning about all different sorts of things. Why can't there be a part where they get some education about disability and disability awareness and all that sort of stuff? Why can't people be educated like that as kids? Because when they're educated as kids, obviously it goes through all of their life. But how important is education?
Absolutely. It's absolutely, and it should be happening. It really should be. Disability is a normal part of life. There are, 1 in 5 people in this country have some form of disability. So, that's a huge chunk of the population. So it should be something that's just automatically happening. And kids are learning about, and, adults are finding more ways to learn about it. It should just be happening.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, because, I think education is key, because once people are educated, they're no longer ignorant. And
exactly. And it's not a thing. It's just like, you see somebody in a wheelchair cruising down the street, or, somebody, who's an amputee walking down the street or whatever, and it's not a thing anymore. It's just another person walking down the street or cruising down the street in a wheelchair,
And it also helps, of course, with their employment opportunities, because if people are aware that, Harry Jones is in a wheelchair or he's blind or he's deaf or whatever it might be, he comes in for a job interview. If they know that, I'll just read through his resume and judge him like everybody else, then he's in with a shot of getting the job. But very often that person will go in for a job interview and they'll just say, oh, it's too hard, basket, don't want to know. And, that sort of thing does happen a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Look, it's happened to me. I've been a wheelchair user my whole life. I was born with my disability, and it's happened to me. I've been in for interviews and got interviews and they've rung me and they've gone, we'd love to have you, but, we don't have fire safety procedures, to get you out of the building in case of a fire and things like that.
And do you then educate them and say, well, listen, it's actually not that hard. All you have to do is A, B and C, problem solved. I'll be in on Monday.
Oh, look, I always, pretty much, I always just say to them, look, if I have to get out of this building, I will meet you down there, because there ain't nobody getting down those stairs quicker than me. Let me tell you.
No, it's very true. I think, and is that something else in that a lot of the problems can be fixed very, very easily. It's mm-hmm. not a big deal.
Oh, look, there is a massive, massive, massive issue in this industry of overthinking and thinking things need to be done. And they do, in certain times they do, in certain ways they do need to be done in certain ways, but, you know, there's a massive issue with overthinking rather than thinking simply, you know. At Invincible, when, you know, when we're doing consults and stuff, we're all about the simple things that a business or a person can do to make their shop front or their business or whatever more accessible in simple ways by, you know, furniture moving or a small threshold ramp or things like that. Because, you know, there's a million people out there that'll say, oh, you need to spend $1 million doing this and $500,000 doing that. And that's what, you know, ultimately that's when you get people that shut down and go, oh, it's too hard.
But yeah, because that's not necessarily always the case. I mean, for the blind and vision impaired, a lot of things can be easily fixed with, I mean, computers have talking programs on them.
Absolutely.
I mean, only costs, you know, less than $1,000 and all of a sudden your computer talks to you. Like it's those little things can be really easily fixed. So people need to just calm down a touch.
They absolutely do. And, you know, by not understanding or not, you know, opening yourself up to that sort of stuff, you're missing out on some damn good people.
Yes.
You really are. So, yeah.
No, I couldn't agree more. Now, we do need to wrap it up because we're going over time. But if people want to learn about more about Adam Shepherd and Invincible, where can they go? What can they do?
So you can go to adamshepherd.com.au. You can find me on Instagram, The Real Adam Shepherd, or you can go to...
Well, is there a fake one that we need to know about? Is there an impersonator?
Well, hey, you know, who wouldn't? Or you can go to invincible.co.
Do you want to spell that? Because people might be a bit...
Puzzle. Oh, this is going to put me on the spot. INVINCABLE.CO.
That's right. There's no E.
No E.
Yes. Yes. Because the talking program on my computer that I was talking about, it got confused when it read your, yes, because there's no E and it had a heart attack. But yes, make sure you do look this man up. He's got tons of great knowledge and information that can help everybody. So please look up his website. It's a good read. I've had a good look myself. It's very, very good. And thank you so much for coming in today, Adam. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Goff. It's been fantastic.
Absolutely. And so that brings us to the end of this week's episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly comment, rate and review, all of that good stuff. Well, as long as it's going to be 5 stars. And of course, Beer Nuts Productions is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will chat to you then.